Hi, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
How is everybody?
I'm sore.
Well,
save it for air. We'll get to that in just a minute.
Are you sure?
That's the sore voice of Josh Fligger.
Yeah, play a little game, listeners, and think for yourself. I wonder what part of Josh is sore. That's our new game show.
Every week.
What part of Josh is sore? And that's our new game.
All right.
Larry Morgan is here. Are you sore anywhere?
Let me think. Well, everywhere. Always.
Hey, just the general soreness of being Larry.
No game show here.
I'll join you in solidarity. I'm a little bit sore as well from yesterday. We could talk about our sorenesses. I don't know if Sam Farmer's sore, but he's on assignment.
When the people that you know don't like you and you treasure friendships.
I forgot the words.
Tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
That's some good strumming.
Hey, I got a new set of guitar picks. I think they changed the tone.
I can totally tell. It sounded different.
Well, you put on new strings not too long ago. I was going to go with that. I was like, how much impact does a guitar pick have on the sound of a guitar?
It's a quarter sound the same.
Yeah. Well, just out of curiosity, I mean, this microphone is not built for this, I'll be honest with you, but you listen to this. See, you really hear the pick, but if I do the same thing, you don't hear the pick as much.
That's just massive.
I got new plectrums.
Yes. That's a weird British word.
Got some plectrums.
Why do they call them plectrums?
Well, welcome to the program. Josh, before we continue, I think that you've asked for the floor, and you'll get the floor.
I did not ask for the floor, but and it's really...
Well, you did.
You
asked me.
I think you did.
Josh, when you bring something up, you know we're going to need you to expound on it. So there is no way that you bring up, am I sore, where you don't think there's going to be a follow-up or two.
At the very least, it was a passive-aggressive taking of the floor.
I agree.
I generally am passive-aggressive with everything I do.
We know as well.
One time you point that out, you can't be like, okay, Josh is passive aggressive this week. We need to give him the floor.
Please tell us why you're sore. You have the sore floor.
Would you like to take a guess what's sore first?
Yeah, let's play the game, Andy.
Or do you want me to give you want a hint?
We start with a couple of questions.
Yes,
I'll just go ahead and take a guess.
All right.
Is it your junk?
No.
Is it in or around your... inner thigh.
Yes.
So I was right.
It's not my junk.
I honed in a little more focused than you did, Andy. By the way, that's always Andy's first guest for any game.
Yeah,
is it your junk?
Your junk.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, can I divulge this information
about my junk?
Yesterday, I know where you were.
Okay, that is 100% the reason of my soreness.
See, and I have no idea where you were, Josh, and I went
right for
the thigh.
Yes, you do, because he said in a text message, I'm going to Knott's Berry Farm.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
So at Knott's Berry Farm, I've never been.
Well, I mean, saying I was at Knott's Berry Farm yesterday wouldn't make me immediately go, oh, your thighs must be sore.
How's your junk doing?
So, Josh, you're going to have to explain what happened at Knott's Berry Farm.
I just from standing in lines and walking around, they were fine yesterday. And they were like, I thought they were okay this morning. I started vacuuming like half an hour ago. And I was like, holy shit, my hamstrings are hurting. Yeah, my blue two hammies. I think it's just from standing on line all, you know what I mean? I haven't done that crap for a year. Now I'm walking
you
around.
You must be at the pinnacle of shape. Yeah, pull a hamstring while waiting in line. What a specimen of physical prowess you are.
Josh hasn't had to stand for longer than 20 minutes in a year and a half. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Plus, there's a lot of strain on the legs.
There's some mild uphill grades.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. in the hills of Buena Park, California, or whatever
it
is.
I need a workout. It's been a long time since I had a real, something like Iron Man level. I think I'll go to Knott's Berry Farm, walk around for a little bit.
I thought you were going to say that, you were on a ride and it was like, oh, it really beat my body up and I had to kind of tense myself. And
do they have horseback riding now at Knott's Berry Farm?
That's not the only Knott's Berry Farm injury that I got.
All right.
Well, they had, you have to.
Your tongue on a funnel cake.
I threw out my arm.
Doing what?
The where you knock down the things with the baseballs.
I thought maybe you were smacking Owen around and getting him to be quiet.
Well, you know how those games are rigged, right? Like, I took the ball. You got five balls, and you had to knock down three of them. My first one, I just nailed this thing right in the center. It goes halfway back and comes back forwards. And I'm like, son of a bitch. That means I have to wind up like Oral Hershiser and gun these at 80 miles per hour and hit them dead square just to get them out. So I did that, and I missed. and I walked away defeated and with a short sore shoulder.
Wow.
A lot of Oral Hershiser.
Yeah. Tore a rotator cuff at Knott's Berry Farm.
with my kid just looking up at me, shaking his head, just going, oh.
Dad.
Look at that shame. Guy.
So what did it feel like going to a frickin' amusement park?
Well,
and was the environment like electric or was it sparse or
no, it was well, okay, so what they do is you do reservations. You don't just go, right. You get your ticket. And they also do reservations of showing up what time.
Yeah, because it was the first limited capacity right now.
Yeah,
right.
It was the 33%. First time that they were open at that level, right?
Yeah, I think
this last week.
Oh no, I don't know. I think they've been open for like a couple weeks.
Have they?
Yeah, but it's like even at 33% is significantly less. You know what I mean? It's not as crowded. Sure. But like we got.
Which is great if you don't like people. Like I really can't stand human beings.
Imagine if it was regular capacity what your thighs would feel like now.
Gosh.
You would literally be in a wheelchair right now.
Well, here's the thing is it was when we got there at 11, it was fine because I don't know. It just people were spaced out and it wasn't. Everybody was wearing masks and it was great. And it was. The lines were, spaced out. Even in the rides, they had like every other seat was closed. You couldn't do that. But then the later it got in the afternoon is when I hate, I'm going to sound like a get off my lawn. But it was once the teenagers started to come in and I can't blame them. They haven't been out and about for a year or so. But it's like they're not wearing masks. They're just standing in line, just bumping into you. And you're like, all right, it's enough. So the later in the day it got, the hairier it was. It was a little less people, a little less kids following the rules. So that's when we bailed. But it was a good time.
Nice.
But you enjoyed yourself? Did Owen enjoy himself?
Owen had a blast. Yeah. We had a great time.
What is the your favorite? I've never been to Knott's Berry Farm to my knowledge. I don't know. I made back in Y107 days, I made an appearance
there.
I used to drink a lot. I might have shown up there for something, maybe for Knott's Scary Farm or some shit. Yeah. But what was your favorite ride? What's your favorite ride at Knott's Scary Farm?
I don't give
a Knott's Berry Farm.
It's Owen. I just go and let him do it. You know,
what was
I,
his favorite ride?
It's all kind of roller coaster based.
He liked the Ferris wheel. He totally dug the Ferris wheel. Yeah, he loves the bumper cars too.
It's halfway between a county fair and a theme park.
Yeah,
there, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
It's like a higher class county fair, and then there's a few roller coasters that are
there's no pit, there's pretty no, good. There's no 4-H and pig barns and chicken barns and chicken shit like that.
Did you get the chicken? Everybody asked, did you get the chicken?
No. That's the most overrated chicken I've ever had in my entire life.
It absolutely is. You are correct, sir.
But that's how it started out, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm correct on my Knott's Berry Farm lore.
Never been there before, sober.
It began as it's a farm. The Knott's family, they grew berries and they
you know
they
what kind
owned
of berries?
Farm. No.
Yeah, Knott's berries.
Strawberries?
No, your name actually came up, Andy. They grow boysenberries, I believe.
What?
Yeah, because they had a shitload of boysenberry stuff. Yeah. Like
they did?
Yeah.
I can't find that shit anywhere.
Really?
Brought some home, didn't you?
No. Why would I do that?
God
I got
damn you
shit last week. Now you're being a moot.
Shit. we need to revisit the basket, by the way. Let's bring that up a second. But first, the Knott's Berry, that used to be like a the chicken that they served there, that the matriarchs of the family made, became so popular with people that they began to sell it from their house,
and that's how,
on the weekends. Okay. And then it grew such a crowd. Some of this may be apocryphal, but they grew such a crowd that they started to put in little small things around there, teeter totter and things to occupy people while they were waiting for their food. And that grew and grew to the point where they had these, a good deal of attractions there to bring people to wait for.
And that's when the chicken. The peanuts came and Snoopy came and everybody got in there.
One of my favorite Knott's Berry Farm claim to fames was that Steve Martin worked in the Birdcage Theater there. That was one of his first gigs.
Wow. Because he's from Garden. He's from Garden Grove.
Grew up in Garden Grove. I think he worked at Disney. He worked at both Knott's Berry Farm. It was kind of like Knott's Berry Farm was the minor leagues, and he got moved up to Disneyland at one point.
To the show. Show.
We rode one big roller coaster, and it was like the medium one there, right? And once it was one of those ones where you go up, and the very first part is a drop, and we hit that drop. And Owen's screaming. I'm laughing. And he's screaming the whole way time. We get out down the thing. He goes, "When I hit that first drop, I felt like I was going to puke." He had never done like a big drop like that.
The Steve Martin, he wrote a book about being down there. What was it called? Standing Up or Born Standing Up?
Great frickin' book. It goes through, as much as you think you know about Steve Martin, if you've been following him as long as people like us have and remember his early stand-up career, but how he got to where he was, going through like literally learning how to entertain, getting some of his magic tricks and weird stage presence that he has from doing these shows at Knott's Berry Farm in Disneyland. And then there weren't comedy clubs when he was coming up. He was playing in folk clubs, right, in San Francisco in the Troubadour. He was hanging around. Have you seen the documentary on the Troubadour? He was hanging around with the Eagles and Linda Ronstadt and going up on those, jamboree nights or hootenanny nights or whatever, and performing and doing his shtick. And other people would go up and sing. There were no comedy clubs as we know them now. He just was going up anywhere he could and do his weird ass combination magic banjo, kind of telling jokes and being weird.
Arrow through
stuff.
The head.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, the Troubadour, kind of hosted a little bit. I mean, like the Smothers Brothers would go to the Troubadour and perform. John Lennon famously heckled the Smothers Brothers there and got thrown out.
He and was it
Nilsson?
Nilsson.
Was that the Lost Weekend thing? Is that what he did?
Yeah.
I would strongly recommend reading if you have any interest in Steve Martin at all, and who doesn't? He's really. It's a great book, and the audiobook is even better, man. It's so good.
Oh, does he read it? Yeah.
He reads his own audiobook, what is great about it is that because he talks about specific bits during that early stand-up period, he recreates them, something that he has not done since he left stand-up. He actually does the bits in the audiobook, and it's
fascinating. Yeah, and just hearing him say it, I'm sure it's like one of my favorite parts of it, where he's talking about after, he had gotten work in Hollywood as a writer, doing these things, writing jokes.
Smothers Brothers.
He wrote for the Smothers Brothers, and he was, on the dating game a little bit later in the 70s and all of those things, trying to get, exposure and get to where he wanted to be. Well, then when he finally gets to where he wants to be, and he's this arena filling, stadium filling comedian, people are going to see him in the tens of thousands to see a comedy act on a stage. Yeah. And he's just laughing at how ridiculous that is. And so he'd be in this giant stadium with 30,000 people and he'd do shit like, look at this dime. The people in the back row of the stadium, see this dime?
And this was an era of no big screens, Jumbotron at all.
And that in itself would make people just howl in laughter, because sure as fuck people can't, they're two football fields away, they can't see anything. It was just, the book is really fun to read. I'd love to hear it again, read by him.
Yeah, it's really good.
Anywho, did we skip anything? I wanted to jump back to the basket real quick.
No.
Oh, our gift bucket?
Your gift bucket, excuse me.
All right.
I didn't mean to mischaracterize it.
Yeah. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, I don't know
Andy.
What basket you're talking about.
But. My pale o goodies.
Yeah, there we go.
I still have
your
the
bucket of crap is what we affectionately called it.
Well, let me just tell you the status of how all this shook out. Number one, I'm still eternally grateful for the gesture. It was just wonderful on both of your parts to go to all that trouble.
Deeply moved, yes. Are you? Mm-hmm.
Deeply, deeply, deeply moved. And you have to go back if you missed last week and listen to that and see what all of the goodies were. But I can tell you the fate of a few of them.
Okay. You chuck it at a neighbor or something?
Can't wait.
The deviled ham. The deviled ham and the other beef tripe things, the little Vienna sausages and so forth. That'll be on its way to a food bank.
Okay. Or the garbage.
Okay.
All right. Just don't do that to those poor people. Just stick it in the garbage.
The First Street spam.
Front Street.
Lunch and loaf.
Front Street.
Lunch
and loaf. The spam alike, that's totally going to get eaten. That's staying in the house, and I'm gonna fry that shit up and make some omelets this week. Don't you worry about that.
All right.
So that's going to definitely be used up.
You're gonna do it during lunch though, right? Not breakfast because
it's lunch.
It's lunch and loaf.
It is not a breakfast loaf.
No,
you're right with it. No. What about brunch? Could it be brunch and loaf?
I think that works.
I mean, it's just if it's after like 10:30.
And you can't cut it up and slice because it's no longer loaf form. So you got to fry it up in a brick and eat it like that.
Exactly. You have to fry it up intact.
In between two buns and just eat it like a lunch and loaf burger.
Brunch and loaf. That's good. Would you like some brunch and meat with that?
Yeah.
So that's the status with those. I laughed out loud to myself a couple of times since last week at Josh's comments about the old Milwaukee near beer being the only the only NA beverage that could still cause you
to have a hangover.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
That fucking near beer is pretty good.
Oh, no.
No way.
Oh, dude.
If you get it cold enough.
You say that about everything.
Yep. It's effort. There's enough carbonation in it. And if you get it cold in it and it's light and crisp. I swear to God, sitting down with like some burritos or something like that,
say,
a cold one of those, pretty good, man.
Well, let me ask you this question. When you take a swig of it, do you quickly stick a burrito in your mouth?
it's probably more like burrito, sip, burrito. Bam, bam, bam.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's only like 68 calories a can, and it was crisp and fresh and a good summer brew. I might have to ask you where you were able to procure that.
Milwaukee's Beast NA gets approval by Andy Chanley.
Yeah,
how was the hangover?
I had to take a lot of ibuprofen. Yeah, couldn't get out of bed the next morning. But it's surprisingly good stuff there. Then what else? Oh, so I was working on a research project for someone where I had to record different voices, and they wanted adult voices, me, Laura, so forth, friends, family, and also kid voices. So I had Viv and Silas both record their voices for me. Well, Silas recorded his after our podcast last weekend, comes out on Sunday, and he looks down in my office and he sees that bucket. And he sees the rats.
Oh, that's right.
I already forgot about the rats.
A couple of rubber rats.
He sees the rubber rats and Blippi.
Oh, please tell me he begged you for the Blippi doll.
He grabbed them and ran inside with them.
Yes. They are in the house.
For days, he's running around with this Blippi thing, getting it right up in my shit, right in my ear, and pressing the bow tie so it says, we're going to have fun, and all that shit. Came time to clean up for the housekeeper on Tuesday. Monday night, we're cleaning up around the house, and he was up in my shit with that thing again. Hey, we're having fun! When he wasn't looking, that thing went in the fucking truck.
I was imagining you
that
sneaking
better.
Through the house Grinch-like in the middle of the night. Dinky, 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 dinky.
Well,
and sliding
if there's
your
anything
from
I
under
hate,
his pillow.
anything I hate is cleaning up for the cleaner, cleaning up for the housekeeper.
I know.
Yeah, what is that concept? Tidying up for the housekeeper. I've never understood that.
I used to not, and I used to think it was completely counterintuitive. But you don't hire a housekeeper to do a deep organizational cleaning of your kids' toys.
Yeah, true.
When there's an inch and a half layer of Lego and Barbie shoes across my daughter's floor, that shit's got to be picked up and orderly put away in some fashion before she comes in and, you know, Swiffers the floor and makes the beds and cleans the glass and squabs the toilets.
I just remember for the short time when my mom was a single working mom and she had a housekeeper come in like once a week for a while, and she would spend most of the morning before school cleaning up to the point where it was like, Mom, this house is as clean as I've ever seen it. It was like, and I really think it was about, I don't want to be embarrassed for the housekeeper to see how dirty the house is. It's like, I'm not sure she's got anything to do now because it's pristine.
I got a question. Andy, you said something that just brought something to my mind, and everybody here being parents, we've probably all done this, and I've got a question. What's the proper? Oh, look at the dog! He's got the
dog.
He's
Bixby.
He's vying for attention, so I had to pick him up.
I'd pick my dog up, but he's too fat.
Look at those little paws and that sweet little baby, baby.
Sorry, guys.
So
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so there's got to be. I've already done it like 2 or 3 times. And I guarantee Andy's done it, and Larry, I'm sure you've probably done it. The toy purge. That time.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you go in when they're not around and you just can't fucking take it anymore because there's so many toys. They're just coming out. They're coming out everybody's ass. And there's toys that are like he's shit that he hasn't played with in he hasn't been alive 10 years and he hasn't played with stuff in like nine years.
It's just sheer accumulation. It's funny you say that because I literally have just done that with the dog. It's the same thing. It's like he keeps getting toys and they pile up and they're everywhere and then they're all in one place and there's no way he's going to touch any of these, and I just quietly like sneak in and toss them out.
Here's the question though. Do you involve your child in this decision-making process?
Yes and no. Well, Larry, did you ask the dog?
I did not get his permission, but this is one of those cases where it was for his own good.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
As a dog parent.
Set down your cup of coffee and come over here and answer this question about these toys.
But I've done that. Sit down your cup of coffee. Well, I've called back to last week, everybody. Dog hands. I remember doing that with Alex. As he got older, it was all video games. So at that point, there was no way I could touch those.
I understand that, too. Plus, video games is not that big of a deal. You can store those. I'm just saying the accumulus of just Happy Meal treats and all that stupid little bullshit.
No. Here's what I'll tell you right away. I did not ask his permission. He never missed them. They mostly ended up in my office at work because I enjoy my own toys. So that might be terrible parenting, but they were never missed. Not once.
Yeah, I gotta do it.
We've involved the kids in this way. We try to teach them a little bit of civic duty. And so giving away toys to charity.
That's what I explained. Yes. The times I've done it before, if I explained it, I'm like, you don't play with these anymore. Let's pick out the stuff you don't play with and give them to somebody that might use, that needs them and will play with them instead of just throwing them away. So he gets into that. But then it's all fun and games until the rubber hits the road and he's standing there and he's like, oh, no, I want that. Oh, no, I want that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I want that. You haven't touched this thing in 3 years.
The rookie mistake. You fill the bags with shit, and then you seal those bags up, and you throw them in the trunk. Then you drop them off without them seeing them again.
Here's the mistake I made. I had two bags. Okay, I did this when he wasn't around. This was the last time I did it. I just said, screw it, I'm not involving him. And I think he was gone or in school or something. And I just went in his room and filled up two trash bags full of shit that he's done playing with. And one of them was this gigantic stuffed Pac-Man. right? And it was so okay. So I stick them in the back of my truck. I get a 4Runner, and I just left them there. And they sat, because I was going to donate them. So they sat there for like a month. And I'm like, next time I find one of those places, I'm just going to drop it off. Well, sure enough, he gets in my truck one day, and the bags had shifted enough that like a little piece of Pac-Man was sitting out the top. And he's like, what's that? And I'm like, that's the stuff we're donating. Is that my Pac-Man? I'm like, just like, yeah. He's like, you can't give away my Pac-Man. And I'm like,
I'm trying to think if I had that reaction, because my parents must have done that too. I mean, let's face it, we all have been, we have grown up in a consumer society, which means multiple gifts at multiple times of year between Christmas and birthday.
Right.
And plenty of stuff. Man, so many, like, use once or twice the thing that you see on TV that you want so badly that wears out its welcome within a couple of days use and then is under the bed forever. And yet, I mean, my Skittle pool game, I was devastated when that disappeared. I have to admit, I never used it. I played it at Christmas. I tried it again. You know how you, at one point the game is so boring or the toy is so boring that you alter it in some way and create something completely different.
That
was use it for something that was never been meant to be used
like,
for.
Like Hot Wheels tracks always turn into swords.
Like smacking your friends with.
You use it like three times, but then immediately just start beating each other with them.
Well, that's the thing about the Blippi doll. I knew that there was no way I could talk them out of donating that to charity.
Yeah.
Because Silas would have wanted to hold on to it to shove it up my ass on a regular basis.
Well, I encourage that. I think Silas is on the right side of the law there.
Here's what a John Milton Fligger, my dad, would have done. And he recommended it. And I've actually done this before, too.
I didn't realize that he was so literally named.
Yep, John Milton Fligger, J.M. Fligger.
Paradise Lost. Yes. That's great.
You could probably just maybe pull a wire somewhere. And then it's just a non-talking Blippi doll.
Oh, right.
Yep.
And that will lose its luster because it won't annoy you as much.
And guess what? Oh, no. It just happened, Blippi. I don't know what happened. You know, just find the little hard part that makes the noise and go get on a pair of shoes with heels. Just stick it right underneath your heel. Give it a couple crunches. Everything's fine.
Here's what galls me is, as grateful as I am for the gesture, that you guys put money in Blippi's fucking pocket.
What?
That's the crime here.
I know.
I'm sure he's getting a pretty good cut of the merch. You're right. Yeah. So, we apologize. Is there some sort of charity we should contribute to make up for it?
Yeah, I don't know. Dipshits Anonymous?
Blippi got a little, you just bought Blippi a nice new hat.
Yep. Shit. Rainbow colored hat. Bought him a new bow tie with that. Anus.
I remember when my parents threw away my Batmobile. I was just distraught.
Man!
I think I was like 20 when I found out. because I collected Batman stuff, and I specifically remember like being like 16 and not playing with him. But I'm like, I'm gonna put this shit in a bag and put it up in the attic because I want to look at this stuff again when I'm old. You know what I mean? Like I want my kids to play with this or something. And this was something that I loved, and I don't want to throw it away, and I might want to look at it again some other day when I grow up.
Yeah,
and then like moved out and came back, and then my old man's like, come look at the attic, I cleaned it up. And I'm like, I remember just walking up the stairs going, oh my god, he didn't do it. And I'm like, did you throw away, there's like a garbage bag back in the corner? He's like, yeah, your Batmobile, I threw that away. it's like son of a bitch. Yeah, but he kept my brother's gigantic bag of football cards.
Did that take the luster off of your impression of his cleanup job?
I remember like sitting down and just having a moment to myself. I was like, a Batmobile was so cool. You could press a button and a battering ram would come out of it.
No, which Batmobile?
What era?
TV?
Not the 80s one, the Super Friends one.
The cartoon?
Yes, Batmobile? That one. Yeah, not the Adam West one. Although I did have that one, too. And I
is that the one with the like the bubble domes?
Yeah, that, no, that's for, not that one. I had the 80s.
The canopies over the.
Yeah, the 80s one is the one I had. The one was the Super Friends, whatever, Justice League or whatever. They're talking right. The Hall of Justice.
Yeah, Super
that
Friends, one. Right. Yeah, yeah.
So you got the TV show.
The one that Casey Kasem played Robin, if I remember correctly. I think so. Yeah.
You got the TV campy 60s TV show version. You got the 80s Super Friends version. Then you've got the Michael Keaton version.
Michael Keaton, that Batman sucks.
And then you got the they did two more redos of it
You got your Val Kilmer and your George Clooney Batmans.
And then you got Batfleck.
Christian Bale Batmobile.
Right, you got that era.
Yeah. Right. There are many different Batmobiles, haven't we?
Yeah, and now we've got yet another new Batman on the way. Who knows what?
I'm looking forward to that one, though. Yeah. That one looks cool.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson.
What else has he done?
Twilight.
A little saga called Twilight.
Ah.
He's the dreamboat vampire.
That's right.
I see.
He's dreamy.
All right. Hey, fellas, we got some calls.
All right.
Do
you want to hear some of these?
Hey, before we do that, can we do some business here real quick?
Oh, by all means.
Do we want to do our music episode next weekend? And knowing that we would record on Memorial Day weekend, do we have any issues with that? And I hate to bring this up right here, but I'm game if you guys are. And do we still like our music topic from last week?
Which, oh, we forgot about it. Yeah.
I'm game doing it. I think if we can go on Saturday.
Do you have your songs?
No.
Not yet.
I'm still struggling with mine. I know
it
one.
It was your topic,
I know, Josh. I know. That's what the problem with it. But I think I have it.
What was the topic again?
Good songs with terrible lyrics.
Yeah.
Andy.
Good songs.
Songs we like with lyrics that are ridiculous or we hate having to sing because they're so stupid. I know there's some out there. I know there are songs that I react with a grimace when I sing them because of the inane lyrics. And yet I still love
the song. And we're each coming up with two of these?
Yes,
is that right?
Two.
I think we should.
All right. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to make that my life's passion.
Yeah,
I bring it up now because if we're going to do that, I would also love to have some emails or calls from people who might have, you know, their best favorite bad lyric song.
Where could they send such an email, Larry, if they had one?
That would be at yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. Go ahead and drop your little something-something in the AFSAC. We might just read yours.
If they wanted, they could call and tell us with their voices.
Yes.
Well, what number would they dial?
Use our voice sack.
I'm so glad you asked about that. It's the YAF line. And that number is 626.
I forget the rest of it. I did it.
Where's the
memo? Where's the post-it?
You threw me off. 626-657-6428.
There it is.
626-657-6428. Someone told me that they've been meaning to call for months and months. They can't figure out how to spell a muck.
A muck.
The mnemonic device, if you can't remember the telephone number like that, what I should have done in my head is just said, oh, it's, what is it?
Oh, a muck.
A muck, PM hat. Oh, a muck, A-M-O-K.
Yeah.
Oh, a muck, PM hat.
The least helpful mnemonic device any ever conceived.
Yes.
And you know what? Also, while you're calling in, somebody brought up, let's get some topics for Food Court.
Food Court. Have yet to hear from anybody about Food Court.
I've got the crammer.
Yeah, well, let's see if there's any calls today that might have some suggestions.
All right.
What do you say, Andy?
That sounds great.
Okay. Trying to move this along.
That sounds just great.
I know that I'm the one that screeched it to a halt, but just trying to get the momentum back. Sorry.
This is someone thinking that we would have been recording on Sunday. Well, in fact, we did it on Saturday last week. So they called in early in the morning on Sunday, but we've had to wait over a week to hear this golden dulcet tones. For this one, Larry, I need a little bit of an intro.
Oh. Low energy by art.
Low energy,
Hey, Appers. This is Low Energy Mike from Northeastern Oregon. Life in Eastern Oregon is pretty all right. People are friendly. The weather is good. Lots of outdoor activities and work. Next week, we'll be starting to stockpile base rock for a road project that is out in the middle of nowhere. It'll take the trucks just about 2 hours to make a round trip. The job calls for about 750 to 800 yards of base. That's a lot of trips at 20 yards apiece.
Jesus.
There are two gates that need to be opened and closed. Each time you go through them, is there a cattle in the fields? Sure glad I'm not hauling rock for this project. Well, it's time to go mountain biking. Ozzy is bugging the hell out of me to get going. Good times for a ditch digging man. Talk to you later. There
you go. Pretty all right.
Yeah. Yeah, right, Larry, do you mind?
Oh, here we go.
That was Low Energy Mike. That was Low Energy Mike.
I don't know. He says it's a pretty all right living there. And then he tells us this nightmarish story about how
20
you've got to go through hell to haul rock out to the middle of, you know, godforsaken.
What was
Egypt.
He building again? I don't know. He's laying 800 yards of rock. And then he said something about a cattle in the fields.
Oh, yeah. They have to stop twice on the way there on this road. They have to stop their truck, open up a gate, and then drive through, and then close the gate behind them two different times each way. So a total of four times per trip because there are cattle.
So four times that are kept for every 20 yards.
Yeah.
So we can mathematically figure out how many times they open and close the gate because we know he needs 800 yards. So how many trips would that be?
Well, what is that? That's 40 trips?
Yeah, 40 trips at...
40 trips times 4? That's...
1,600 times. Wait, what? No, 40 trips.
160.
40 times 160. 4.
160. Yeah. 160
times. 1,600.
Good math.
Yeah.
My hammies hurt.
Well, I guess that's why he said. I guess that's why he said. What did he say? It was pretty good, not great.
Yeah, pretty all right.
Pretty all right. Yeah.
I would imagine that if I were to hire someone to do all of that bullshit, I would imagine it would cost a pretty penny.
Where's pretty all right on the good and bad scale? Would you say that's like slightly above good?
I think pretty all right is
halfway in between good and awesome.
It's fully in good territory.
Yes, but I mean, is it like in between good and awesome or like good and great?
Because I think all right, how are you doing? All right. All right. I think that's ambivalence.
That's kind of flat line. That's the baseline, right?
It's maybe just a little bit above.
I was going to say a little bit above average.
I agree.
Above level.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but when you're pretty all right, that means you're almost a good.
No, I would say good is the exact halfway point between average and awesome.
I agree.
You're doing good. And pretty all right is a notch above good.
Oh, pretty all right.
Or do you think it's below good?
I think it's above. I think it's slightly above. I think it's if you do the average of the ebbs and the peaks, that you're generally more in peaks. That's what I think.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Generally.
I think you might dip below the median. You might dip below periodically when you're pretty all right.
Sure. Well, that's just life.
Because there might
Andy.
Be strife.
That's just life.
So,
yeah.
Like,
but for the most part, your wave is above the median.
So, yeah.
All right.
So, I think we're all pretty all right.
This podcast is like below all right. It's just like.
I think you're our harshest critic, Josh.
Andy, you're pretty good.
You need to put some. You need some kind of liniment on your hammies.
I do need hammy liniment.
Yeah, you're just cranky liniment. from your sore
or no,
thighs.
What did you say last week? Salve. I need some hammy salve.
Some unguent. Yeah.
Some unguent.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to get some Bengay on those.
Hey,
hams.
Cindy, put some hammy salve on the list.
Hammy salve.
Yeah, sounds like something you gave me a can of last week in a bucket.
Say, crack that baby open, fry it up.
All right, you guys ready for another phone call here?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
Yo, 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 guys, it's Trucker Joe. Anyways, I'm just listening to the May 20th episode show, whatever you guys want to call it. And it was a great show. And it kind of dawned on me that one of the advantages, one of the good things that came out of the pandemic was Larry being on the show a lot more. That dude is funny as hell. I mean, I love you, Josh, and I love you, Andy, but it's better with all three of you.
I
love you. You guys got this smooth, refined radio voice, and his sarcasm is top shelf. I loved hearing him bust Andy's ball. Anyways, hope everything's going well. Andy, I hope your radiation treatments are going okay. And I mean, I know family members that have gone through that, and I know it's not fun, but we're all pulling for you out here, Andy. So keep the faith, brother. You guys take care.
All right.
Oh, nice.
Well, how about that? Trucker Joe.
Yeah.
I got to see there, Josh. That's he gave us many more accolades than just
He said the podcast was great. So
and Josh, that's coming from the star of the show, Larry Morgan.
Which this feels like maybe an unfortunate time to bring this up, but this will be my last episode, everybody. I didn't want to say it now, but
I think you're the one that is the gatekeeper of the email address. Uh-huh. I think maybe some money has been Venmo'd to Trucker Joe.
That was purely spontaneous, and I had no influence over that whatsoever.
All right.
By the way, that's the first time I've ever gotten an accolade in an entire, how many years we've been doing this. It's always, where's Sam? I like it when Sam's there. So much better when Sam's such a great storyteller. Sam. I get one positive Larry call and I'm bribing the guy.
Hey, you want to hear what I get?
And you wonder why I'm quitting today.
I get people trying to make me throw up and sending me dick pics. So cry me a river.
Good point. Good point. That was pretty all right, Josh. Pretty all right.
Heavens. Nice sentiment there from Trucker Joe. Yeah. I haven't had any radiation, though.
Yeah.
I haven't been.
He's got the treatment.
You want some?
Yeah. Wrong.
I've been having some treatment, though.
His wishes were best of intentions, though.
Sure. By the way, didn't mention this earlier on, but if anybody gives a shit, had my halfway point. I've had three cycles. I've got three to go. Had my halfway point PET scan where they check and see if it's doing any good.
Yeah.
And they scanned my body, and they said that my tumor that was about the size, a little bit bigger than a softball in and around my spleen, is just about gone.
Nice.
What?
Just about gone.
What?
And everywhere else, the activity that's cancerous is just about, they said it's subtle.
Holy cow. So not just shrunk, but gone.
Almost completely resolved is what they said. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy bullshit. You could have a tumor that big and three rounds of chemotherapy and it's
How's the chemo doing? Is it getting any worse, any different?
Yeah, it's no fun.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, is it getting like progressively worse or is it just kind of the same the whole, really?
Gets tougher each time.
That sucks.
But
because it's all in your system and it's all starting to really hit you all the time now.
It's cumulative, yeah. I don't know what to expect each time because I've never done it before. But this last time, for the first time, by the end of the day of the infusion, I just had this feeling of, I want to go home. You know, I just want to go and lay down. And then the following days, the several days after that, I had this feeling like I was pregnant. I was just this side of nauseous, and I'm like, I don't like, and your abdomen's a little. You got chemo belly. You're a little bit.
I hate that pregnancy.
That might have also been that old Milwaukee near beer, Andy. I'm just saying. I mean, you just don't know.
The burrito and old Milwaukee. That's right.
When you're shoving those back and forth, it can have a bad effect. Yeah. The chemical reaction.
This chemo is really kicking my ass as he pounds another.
Shoving a old Gordo burrito.
It's a little space. Oh, feels so good. Cracks another one.
I wonder why I'm having so much diarrhea.
I don't know why I'm queasy all the time. You dive that lunch in me?
Is the luncheon loaf ready?
I am still hungry as a fucking bear. Yeah. I cannot eat enough food.
That's great.
It's the craziest thing.
And did they tell you that it was going to curb your appetite? That's generally what happens is that it's tough to get people to stay nourished.
Yeah, you're not going to want to eat three meals a day. You're going to want to have like six meals that are really small. Well, you know,
they
just to
didn't
spread it
know
out
Andy Chanley's appetite.
They didn't know me. And you know, the cancer just it loves sugar. You know, that's what it thrives on. And I think it's been the little cancer talking. Feed me, feed me, because I've been like craving jelly beans and shit. I had a big. Kirkland size thing of jelly bean.
You told us about that. You were pounding through them.
It took over a month to do it, but I went through them, man. And I got to the point where I was like a little nervous about going into last week's test. I'm like, oh, fuck. Have I been submarining myself? Have I been feeding this thing? Nope. It ate it and went.
All right.
Well, have your sugar,
Josh,
and go.
I got four words for you, Josh. Bucket O jelly beans.
Well, I was going to say, have they done any research on what Milwaukee's Best does to cancer?
Oh my God.
Especially Milwaukee's Best NA.
I can just see it.
You're going to revolutionize the whole time.
Exactly.
You're going to revolutionize the chemotherapy regimen. Instead of the R-CHOP, it's going to be R-CHOPO.
Maybe it's the combination.
With old Milwaukee. It's like, what's in that bag, that foamy bag that you're about to put in me?
Maybe it's the combination of the two where it creates some super powerful agent that just destroys cancer. That's on contact. Just comes in like,
that's 12 ounces of old Milwaukee that's about to go in you. You know what we need? That has to be the sponsor of this show. Old Milwaukee.
N.A.
Needs to be N.A.
I mean, much like their beer, we're really cheap, so it's a great pairing. Oh, that's perfect.
Is there any worse sponsor in the world than an Old Milwaukee N.A.? Just have that underneath your artificial friends.
Yeah. Let's just make them our sponsor without them even.
They don't. They're not going to care. They've got a sense of humor. They put near beer on the package.
Let's just snag the logo and make it our sponsor. I'm going to start, dude. We are going to start doing inserts every week, middle of the show. It's going to cut away, and we're going to do
commercials for Old Milwaukee.
We're gonna do ad reads. I'm going to write copy and the three of us, it's going to sound bad, spontaneous copy reading, and we're going to do it next week. That's part of the show next week.
I love it. I love it. Okay, we got one more phone call here. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to this.
This is George from Long Beach. Hey, enjoyed the last episode. That was very good. Thanks for the shout out on that as well. And hey, I've been remiss in not giving you Magic Castle news or NASCAR news. Let me fill you in. Not much happening at the Magic Castle. It's been closed until last night. Actually reopened for members and their guests. And at least they're serving dinner. So baby steps, and maybe we'll get back to full opening soon. In the NASCAR news, hey, they have a new car announced for next year. That'll be exciting. And this weekend, they're going to a new track, Circuit of the Americas, a very technical road course in Austin, Texas. 3.2 miles, 20 turns, should be interesting. Nope. Now, I remember the last time I was in Austin, the big thing was watching the bats. Yeah. Apparently, they built the Congress Avenue Bridge, especially on the bottom, so that the free-tailed Mexican bats would nest there. And it's quite a sight. You go down at dusk and watch the bats take off for their evening flight. That's very interesting. Anyway, till next time, this is George from Long Beach.
Yeah.
Did he
That's
just
true say, about the well, bats. That's well, absolutely. I remember the last time I was in Austin for the NAB, for the Marconi Awards, and they were in Austin. I parked in a parking garage, and you notice as you're walking out, it says, at dusk, please do not touch the bats. And apparently that parking garage is so close to the area he's talking about that a bunch of bats live in that parking garage. And at dusk, they start waking up and start fluttering out as you're walking around.
Did you ever get a bat in your house? Have you guys ever had a bat in your house?
No. I don't know. We have them all around here.
We've had birds. I mean, when I was young, we had birds get in the house a couple of times. Yeah. Like they'd come in the flu, I think. And then you'd have this, you know, this sparrow in your house that you had to get rid of.
I remember laying on the floor watching the Pink Panther Part 2. And it was a summer night and I'm just laying there and all of a sudden I just out of the corner of my eye just see this black swoosh go whoosh, like right over my head and I'm like, "What the hell is that?" And in between, the living room was in between two other rooms, like the sunroom and then the dining room. And I'm just like looking like, what the hell is that? And all of a sudden, vroom, it comes back the other way. What it was doing, it was just flying in between the three rooms in a figure eight, trying to figure out how to get out.
I thought I was looking for the Batmobile.
My old man, I was like, I don't think I ever ran that fast in my life. I just took off and went straight upstairs. And my old man went and got... What the hell was he trying to do? He was trying to catch it in like a garbage bag or something. And he ended up getting a tennis racket.
Oh, God.
It's like a 70s sitcom.
And he said, I didn't see it, but he said, he goes, I would swing at it. My old man was a really good baseball player. He's like, I would swing at it, but it would still know enough ahead of time to dodge out of the way. He said, right. So I turned around and got the face the other way. So when it went past me, I swung it and hit it in the ass, and I smacked it off the wall in the sunroom.
Oh, jeez.
He said, where I knocked it out, and then I went and smacked it with
it. Oh, geez. God!
And then they cooked it and ate it.
And then
end.
And then I remember him going, come on down and look at this. I'm like, dude, what are you, crazy? I'm not looking at that thing. Yeah, that was the only time we had a bat in our house. He smacked it in the ass.
Were you an early gagger as a child, Josh? Did you
Hey,
have
you know that? What? This has been a very... This weekend has been very gaggy for me. This has been a very, very
gaggy weekend.
One of the dogs is sick, and it's been very gaggy. This morning was a strong one. Might have pulled a stomach muscle when I came up.
Oh, man, you're sore in a lot of places.
Somebody like, vomited up a hairy turd, it looked like.
Not sure.
Covered in like sausage gravy. It was the worst.
Oh. Okay.
He's
fighting it. He's fighting it.
Did you see like the foam around it? Hair? Was the hair working in and out of it a little bit, out of the turd?
Yeah.
I wanted a turd. It was just long shit. It was like it was shaped like a sausage link.
Yeah. With foam around it. Yeah. And gravy.
Foam. Bubbly foam.
Little nugget of luncheon loaf for
and
you.
Owen,
bon appetit.
Like, Dad, come. I think the dog. He's like, I can't tell if the dog crapped or threw up.
Well, my question for you is, what did it smell like?
I didn't know.
No.
Cindy wasn't up yet, and my gagging woke her up. She got out of bed to clean it up.
When you think of just the smell of vomit, does it make you, can you think about it right now, what it would smell like?
No, I can't. I think, I know smelling it will immediately. Because
it's kind of like that bile-y smell, yeah. You know, the bile it's, while you're looking at
that. That won't work. That won't work. The smell.
No?
I smell it, I will definitely go nuts, but I can't, thinking of the smell doesn't draw this reaction. Smells don't bother me.
So
unless I actually smell them, and then I'm like, ugh.
it's drawing the picture in your mind of the yes. the pussy yellowy kind of yes. cream.
He's still trying.
That comes around. He's taking off his
yep,
headphones.
Yep. It's the preventative measures. And now he's frozen. No, he's not.
Self-preservation.
You know, thinking about two things came to mind when you were talking about the gagging woke Cindy up. It was, which, by the way, sounds like a Saturday night at the Flieger household. Two things. One, the Josh Flieger gag alarm clock. And two, is there any way we could get a recording of you gagging and put it in the Blippi doll? Is there any way we could figure that out?
Missed opportunities, Barbie. People. How can people get a hold of you, Josh, and send you pictures of vomit?
JoshuaJFlieger@gmail.com.
Yes.
What about you?
The wetter and hairier, the better.
Yes. Yes.
For me, I do not accept any vomit pictures, you know, unless they're
sexy. The foam was like the head of a beer. You know what I mean? Ooh. Like that thick, you could see the bubbles, but and the bubbles were staying in it.
Guys,
so it was like this thick foam.
We're going to lose our old Milwaukee sponsorship if you keep this up. Because that's exactly what it looks like.
The foam looked like N.A. beer.
I'm on Instagram @TheLarryMorgan. And Andy, how do people get a hold of you in myriad ways if they want to?
Well, I'm glad you asked. They can get a hold of me on Facebook. I'll never see it. But it's DJ Andy Chanley on Facebook. It's Andy Chanley on the Instagram, all one word, and Andy_Chanley on the Twitter.
And don't forget, we've got our Your Artificial Friends Facebook page where we post the episode every week, as well as other random things that have to do with our episodes. And we haven't said this in a while, whatever podcatcher you happen to catch us on, if you wouldn't mind rating. And be sure you're subscribed. A rating and a quick review, especially if you feel we're at least pretty all right, that would be helpful for other people to find us. And feel free to share and recommend if you want to.
Pretty all right is that's the
we're
new
the pretty
metric.
All right podcast.
Hey Andy, why don't you break the seal on one of those new plectrums?
Ooh. Isn't that beautiful?
That sounds bright and brand new.
That's nice. Ringing out like the angels from heaven.
Yeah.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasure friendships end, tune into this podcast. We are artificial friends.
Bye, everybody. It's been a joy.
Yeah, it's been pretty all right.
It's been slightly less than okay.
Bye. Bye-bye.